As we gather today on this Pentecost Sunday, it's appropriate for us to hear once again the story of God filling His church with His Holy Spirit. So I invite you to hear once again this story found in Acts, not just from me, but from the voices of God's people. Acts 2, 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place.
And suddenly from the heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting.
Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them.
All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now they were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem.
And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them heard them speaking in their native language of each.
Amazed and astonished, they asked,
Are not all these who are speaking Galileans?
And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia,
Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene,
and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, residents of Crete and Arabs.
In our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power.
All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another,
What does this mean?
But others sneered and said,
They are filled with new wine.
But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them.
People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say.
Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel.
In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist.
The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day.
Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today on Pentecost Sunday, we remember that God has filled His church with His Spirit. We remember the gift of God dwelling among us. And we remember Jesus' charge to continue His work, both here at home and throughout the entire world. We celebrate this by retelling the story of that first Pentecost so many years before, and remembering where it falls in the story of God's people. Easter had passed, Jesus had died and been resurrected, and He had walked among His people for 40 days, teaching them, encouraging them, telling them signs, telling them what's to come. And He gave them one final command. He told them to go to Jerusalem, to gather with the other believers there, and to wait for His Holy Spirit to fall on them, so that they could be His witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. In a moment of great awe and wonder, Jesus ascends into the heaven, leaving earth in bodily form, promising that God's Spirit would come and take His place. So the disciples and the other followers of Jesus waited, unsure of what was to come, but I'm certain that they were not expecting what unfolded that first Pentecost morning. Here, all the believers were gathered together, and a sound of rushing wind came in and filled that space, and fire came down from the heavens and touched each and every believer there. And they were filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues, each talking in their own native language, and yet somehow miraculously united, able to hear and understand one another. The critics that were gathered there thought this was such a bizarre scene that they assumed that the disciples must be drunk or something. But the Apostle Peter quickly steps up and clears the air, saying that it's only 9 in the morning. It's not like we've had too much to drink already. And he tells them what's happening. He says that this scene that's unfolding before them, these tongues of fire and the speaking of tongues, was foretold long ago by the prophet Joel. And that Joel said one day God's Spirit would be poured out upon his church, and that sons and daughters would prophesy, and young men would see visions, and old men would dream dreams. And that as we are filled with God's Spirit, we're given a picture for what God's kingdom will look like. That day, just like today, God's Spirit fell on his church and empowered them for ministry. It's the same thing today. God has not abandoned his people. He is here with us now, every day, and on this day especially, when we remember the gift of the Holy Spirit. But we also know that we were given that gift for a purpose. We were given that gift for a mission. We were given that gift to do God's work here in this place. And God has sent his Spirit to help us see, to help us see the kingdom as it could be, to envision the world as God has ordained it to be, and to be a part of that work of making a better tomorrow. Today we remember that the Holy Spirit has come to show us how the world should be, how the kingdom of God is taking root right here, right now in this place, and help us to make that vision a reality. That's why Jesus came to live and die amongst us, to show us his love, to show us of the good things God has for us, to free us from the pain and despair that so often we feel here in this world. And he's given us the mission of continuing that work, of continuing to share his love throughout the world, of finishing that job Jesus started so many years ago. We're not alone in that work. God has sent his Spirit to be with us, to fill us, and to empower us for this work. He has given us the gifts of prophecy, of wisdom, of compassion, and joy. God has given us everything that we need in order to do his work here in this place. He's given us all the people we need, all the resources we need, all the skills and talent and energy and time. God is a generous God, and he has blessed us with more than enough to do the work that he has set before us. He has given us more than enough in order to continue his work here in this place. We as a people are called to holy work. We are given the ultimate mission in this life, to share God's love with all that we meet, and that through our lives we can make God's love known. Today on this Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the abundant gifts God has given us, we also have the opportunity to look and see how we want to give back to God, what part we're going to play in building God's kingdom, what particular gifts God has given us to make a difference in this world. And when I look at our church, I see that God has blessed us so richly, so deeply, and that he has been so faithful to us over the years. But it wouldn't be possible without people like you, people that for the last 140 years have committed to doing God's work here in this place and making God's love known. It's because of God's people that we're able to see the kingdom of God right here and right now and get a glimpse of God's kingdom. I see signs of God at work everywhere I look when I look at our church. I think of Wednesday nights and our new piece of music worship service, and I see people finding God in that place, that they've discovered a safe space where they can test the waters, to call out to God, to wonder if he's there, to hear him call their name. I think of one young man who's been coming for a couple of months now, and knowing a little bit of his story, he had stopped going to church in middle school or in high school like so many people do, because he didn't feel like church was a place for him, that he could be heard and he could be himself. And he felt awkward and uncomfortable and judged and alone, which is never what a church wants to do, but so often how people get hurt by this world. But in this sacred space on Wednesday nights, he's been able to reach out to God again and reconnect. He has remembered that he is loved, and he has heard God call his name. And each and every week, there's stories like that on Wednesday evening, where people who have left the church or who were hurt by the church or who have never stepped foot in a church before are finding a safe place to come and encounter God, to come and see God's goodness. But it's only because of the step of faith our church was willing to take in opening up our doors and of giving so generously of our time and our talents. People who come and speak and who come and sing and who come and play and who come and pray. God's kingdom wouldn't be moving like it is unless we gave of ourselves to this purpose. I see God at work in our young people in this church, our high schoolers, our college students, our young adults, children who have been coming to this church for years, who grew up being loved and nurtured and taught by the faithful people of this church. And I see them doing incredible things for God, whether it's serving here during worship or it's taking their faith out during the week to their schools, going on missions trips. Our young people have been blessed and called into missions in a way I have never seen before. We've had young adults go to Africa and the Dominican Republic and Atlanta and Haiti. We have somebody going to India this summer in order to share God's love with those who otherwise might not get a chance to hear about it. And it's all because the people here have committed themselves to loving these young people and teaching them and giving of their time and opening up their hearts. We see God at work because of you. I think of the opportunities we've had to engage in our community this last couple of years, reaching 140 people on Wednesday night that come for a warm meal and a friendly smile, who just need to be loved and to know that there's hope. I think of the 40 kids we had at our Easter festival a couple of months ago, most of whom don't currently go to church anywhere. The chance that we got to laugh and to celebrate and to play with them, to give them a little taste of God's kingdom. Or what about all the neighbors that we were able to love and serve at our yard sale just a couple of weeks ago? So many ways that we've been able to use this space that's been provided for us, that people generations before us had a vision for, and that we can have warm rooms and a great kitchen and a beautiful sanctuary, and that we're willing to take care of this space and share it with those around us. And I see signs of God's kingdom moving when our church family gathers together to share and to pray and to encourage one another. We've had so many small groups pop up this past year, and I'm amazed at how God is calling us together, how much we need one another, and how much we can grow when we're together. You know, whether it's the Women's Book Club or the Revelations Bible Study, the Wednesday night group, Sunday school on Sunday morning, so many chances for us to gather, to support each other, to encourage one another, to grow in faith. There's something special when God's people gather. We're recharged for ministry. We are refocused on God's kingdom. We're strengthened for the work God has put before us. But even this wouldn't be possible without the gifts of God's people. Opening up our hearts to new friendships, sacrificing time, getting up early on Saturday morning to come and gather, staying out late instead of relaxing in front of the TV. There are sacrifices to be made in all the things we do, but it's because of the generous gifts of God's people that God has moved in such a mighty way, and we have been able to be faithful to the call to grow God's kingdom. God is at work in our church, and His Spirit has fallen on us, and He has equipped us with many gifts, more gifts than we will ever need. And now He sends us back into the world with a mission, the mission of sharing His love. And my question for us today is, how is God calling you to share His love? What gifts has He blessed you with that you can give back to His kingdom? How is He calling you this day, this week, this year, to further His love and to be filled with His Spirit in all that we do? Today we have the opportunity to offer ourselves to God in worship, to give of all of ourselves, our time, our talent, and our treasure, and to commit ourselves to following God in the work He's put before us. Everything we have belongs to God. You know, our time, our skills, our resources, our homes, and all of that has a role in building up God's community. And I'd invite you to pull out your commitment card in your bulletin today. And in just a moment, I'm going to give you a minute to fill this out. It has sections for all the ways we support God's work. You don't have to fill out all three forms, just different ways God calls us at different times in our lives to support Him, knowing that everything we give, every little effort, God multiplies for His work. If you are led to fill out the financial section of this commitment card today, know that it's confidential and it's not binding, that if your circumstances change, that if God puts something else on your heart, that there's no requirement to fulfill this. But this whole commitment card is an opportunity for us to look at our own gifts and to see how we want to support God's kingdom. If you've already filled this out or if you're visiting today, I'd invite you to think about what gift God has given you. What's something God has given you that you can use to bless another? And how will you use that to bless somebody else? But if this is your church home and you are committed to the work that we do here today, I'd invite you to take a few minutes and to consider how God has filled you with His Spirit and is calling you out in service. Let us take a moment now.
I will offer up my life in spirit and truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must give my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. Jesus, what can I give and what can I bring to so faithful a friend, so loving a king? Savior, what can be said? What can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owned by this thankful heart. For you've paid the great cost, giving up your life to death even death on a cross. You took all my shame away, defeated my sin, opened up the gates of heaven, and have beckoned me in. Jesus, what can I give, and what can I bring to so faithful a friend, to so loving a king? Savior, what can be said, what can be sung as a praise of your name for the things you have done? Oh, my words could not tell, not even in part, of the debt of love that is owed by this thankful heart.
Let us pray. God, you are so good to us. You have blessed us in so many ways. God, we thank you that you've come into our own hearts. You have shared your love with us. We ask that you would help us to be bold in sharing your love with those around us. God, help us to know what gifts you have given us and how we can use them in our church, in our home, in the world to make a difference for you. God, we thank you for the filling of your Spirit and that we are not alone in the work you've called us to. In your name we pray. Amen.
And praise, my wife and I celebrate our, Laurie, celebrate our 33 years of matrimony today. And obviously, praise him for all the blessings.
Andrea Whitney called me this morning to let me know she wouldn't be coming to church. She has gout so bad that she needs a walker to get around. Andrea's had a lot of minor medical problems off and on for the past 6 months or so. It seems as though every few days it's something else. And I'd like to ask for prayer that her doctors can find out the cause. So far, they've not been able to find out what's wrong and what's causing all these problems.
Austin, do you want to give an update on Leslie's dad?
Thank you for your prayers. Leslie is home, and we got the house cleaned in time. The good news really is that Leslie's dad has a new knee, an artificial knee, and he is recovering from the infection and the swelling, and he was in the hospital for a week, so it was pretty serious. And now he's back in rehab, a little bit behind from where he should be, so your continued prayers on his recovery would be much appreciated, and your support and cards of Leslie have been much appreciated as well. Thank you.
Well, this is week four of Navy boot camp. Those of you who know, our youngest son, Aaron, is in the Navy. He's at the Great Lakes Naval Station. And so this week we got to hear from him for the first time. He's doing very well that way. And so continued prayers for him and the other 92 members of his division as they move forward. They have a couple more weeks in boot camp. They will graduate June 17th, and then they will be dispersed to their Class A schools throughout the rest of the United States. And Aaron will be ending up in San Antonio as a corpsman for the next 4 months after that. So prayers for Aaron, prayers for the members of his division, and prayers for the men and women of our armed services.
Anybody else? All right, let's pray. God, we are overwhelmed by the gifts of your love, the way that you care for us, God, the way that you bring us together, the way that you empower us with your Holy Spirit. And we are humbled by the work that has to be done in this world. God, the hurt and the pain, the illness and the suffering, God, those who are lonely and depressed, those who struggle with addiction. God, your love is so needed, and we thank you that we get to be a part of bringing that to this world. We pray today especially for those who are near and dear to our hearts, who are dealing with illness, God, who are recovering, who are struggling right now and are in need of an extra measure of your grace. We lift up especially Bill and John and George and Andrea. We think of baby Luke, and we give you praise that he's home and is in remission. We ask that you'd help his family return to normalcy, God, and that you keep that little baby safe. We thank you for his life and the story of faith that he has to share with all of us as well. God, and we pray for our students as they're preparing for finals or just getting home and are traveling. God, we thank you for Chris and that he gets to have fun and celebrate and to do fun things. God, and we pray for Jason and his group as they're getting ready for a play, God, and how difficult that can be trying to do their best. We pray too for Aaron and all those who serve to keep our country safe. God, we ask that you'd be with him and that you'd help him have joy and purpose. God, that you'd help him to be an example of your love wherever he goes. We ask that you'd keep those who fight for freedom and mercy safe. God, that you would protect and provide for all those who are suffering, God, and in need of your salvation. We pray too for the families who lost people in the fire yesterday. God, such a tragic thing to happen, so heartbreaking and difficult to understand. We pray for those who are left that you'd give them peace and understanding, that your presence would fill them, God, and that you would be with them and show us how to be with them in a way that brings your kingdom here on earth. God, we pray for all those things that were left unsaid today as well, those hurts too hard to be voiced, too heavy to be carried alone. And we lay them at your feet this morning, praying as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you now to respond to the good things God is doing in your life by giving of our offerings, and you are invited to put your commitment card in the offering plate as well if you are ready. We bring all of ourselves to God this morning in worship.
We invite you all to join us for our offertory song, Ever Be. It's something we've done a couple of times, I think. The words will be up on the screen. If you feel like just singing on the chorus or not singing at all, that's just fine. All right. Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain and beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. And faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and it's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. You father the orphan, and your kindness makes us whole. You shoulder our weakness, and your strength becomes our own. You're making me like you, clothing me in white, bringing beauty from ashes, for you will have your bride free from all her guilt and rid of all her shame and known by her true name. And it's why I sing your praise, your praise will never be on my lips, never be on my lips, your praise will never be on my lips, ever be on my lips, and you will be praise, and you will be praise, with angels and saints we sing words. With angels and saints we sing, worthy are you, Lord. And it's why I sing, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
God, we come with our offerings in response to your love. With new life in Christ, we seek to give ourselves in service to others. With the energy bestowed by your Spirit, we seek to inflame your people with your way. Receive the work that we do and the gifts that we bring, that they may be a blessing in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us join together in our closing song.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God, sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you for coming today and being a part of what God is doing here in our church and in our community. I'd invite you to join us for coffee fellowship in the back and stay for our discussion forum if you would like to afterwards. So we prepare to go out. Hear God's blessing. As you enter a new week, may you experience God's presence. May you feel God's pouring out of the Holy Spirit over your heads and your thoughts and the words of your lips, over your hearts and your feelings and emotions, over your compassion for all others, and over your hands and your feet, as you put into action all that God commands you. And during this week, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us until Jesus returns. Amen.
How great!